Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer was recorded at our 2009 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Instead of 7 o'clock, we're starting at 6 o'clock tonight, so make that adjustment. We do that because my staff packs up all of this afterwards, and sometimes they stay up past 1 o'clock, so just starting an hour early gives them an advantage on that and allows us to get to bed. And then we get up and leave at 5 in the morning. That makes for a short night. So praise God, we're trying to help them. I tell you, we got a great staff. We have about 20-something people, I think, that travel with us. And then we have students that travel with us and other people that come to help us pray with people. And I tell you, we just have a wonderful staff. We've been seeing some great miracles happen. And it's people that work with us. And I tell you, it just takes a lot to preach the gospel. It's a lot different than when Jamie and I started out. We would get up and we'd be standing at the tables back there. And this is when I was on radio. And I'd be standing back there and helping people with the tapes and CDs, things like this. And we'd be standing back there and they'd just ask me, "Oh, I've never heard this guy. What do you think? Is he any good? What is..." And I'd say, "Oh, yeah." And I said, "Try this one. You'd like that. And try that one." And I'd have people say, "Well, he sounds like a hick. He reminded me of Gomer Pyle. I thought it was Gomer Pyle at first." And I'd just sit back there and let them say whatever. And then Jamie would get up and sing and lead the praise and worship. And I'd run the soundboard. And then she'd quit and she'd go back to the sound. And I'd stand up. And you could see these people just like this, like, "Oh, no, that's..." It was fun. But we used to do it all ourselves. We used to set up the speakers. We used to do everything. And now it's taken 200 people to replace us. Praise the Lord. What a deal. Amen. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Man, don't despise the day of small beginnings. You know, 1 Corinthians is a powerful book. I wish I had time to put all this in context. But in the second chapter, Paul is writing to the Corinthians for a number of reasons. But one of them is he brought the gospel to the Corinthians and shared it with them. But then there were people that came in and started preaching law and saying, "Look, you may have gotten born again under Paul, but he's wrong to preach that you don't have to be a Jew, you don't have to keep the festivals, you don't have to keep the rituals, you don't have to be circumcised, you don't have to keep the Sabbath." And they started putting the people back under the law. And so Paul was writing to defend his authority as an apostle over these people, and he was also trying to stop all this division. Some people were saying, "I'm of Paul," another, "I'm of Cephas," and another, "I'm of Apollos," and another, "I'm of Christ." And so there was division. And Paul, that's what the book of 1 Corinthians was written for, to straighten that out and to stop the abuse that was going on in church services. So that's what the whole book of 1 Corinthians was written for. And in the second chapter, Paul is really defending his apostleship and telling these people that it wasn't just him that came there. God supernaturally ordained him and anointed him, and that this was God that ministered through him. So these are the points that he's making in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And in verse 1 he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Amen. And these are powerful statements. Paul said he wasn't an eloquent speaker. Matter of fact, later on he says that my speech is contemptible. Paul was not a great public speaker. But you know what? Paul had the demonstration of the power in his life. And this is what I've been talking about, is about how we need the Holy Spirit. We need to be flowing in the Spirit of God and seeing miracles. You know, I had somebody talking to me this morning how about 30 years ago they used to be in meetings where miracles took place and words of knowledge happened and things like this. And they hadn't seen this in 30 years. It's a shame. But it's sad to say, even quote-unquote spirit-filled churches are now so concerned about doing a user-friendly or a seeker-friendly service that we run them in and out, and there's no time for God to move, and there's no time for people to get prayed for. And you can go into the average Spirit-filled church today and give an invitation for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and 50% of the people will come up and receive it because they don't even have it. It's a shame. Paul wasn't operating like that. He says he didn't come in excellency of speech or anything, but he used the power of Christ. And in verse 3 he says, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." He flowed in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Paul saw Eutychus raised from the dead. Paul saw great miracles. The emphasis, as they talk about him, was on his teaching, but Paul operated in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And as a matter of fact, just following this line of thinking, he said over in the 4th chapter, he had been defending himself and saying, "I'm going to do all of these things." And finally, he said this in the 4th chapter and in verse 19, he says, "But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." And if you were to read all of this and put it in context, what he's saying is he had been defending himself, and he says, finally, all right, when I come, we aren't going to sit here and just listen to this argument and that argument. He says, we'll know the power. He says, those of you who are seeing people raised from the dead, those of you who are seeing blind eyes open, those of you that the power of God's operating in you, you can say something. If you haven't seen miracles, shut up. That's basically the approach. You know what? If we were to use that today, that would stop a lot of arguments. There's a lot of people criticizing today, and they have this opinion and that opinion, but the Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse 20, that the Lord went with them, worked with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders following. If a person is truly preaching the word of God, there should be some demonstration of it. There ought to be the miraculous results. And if they aren't getting miraculous results, then just write Ichabod over them. That's what in the Old Testament means, the glory has departed. And if they aren't flowing in the power of the Holy Spirit, well then, you know what? You shouldn't fear them. You shouldn't take their opinion. It's quiet in here. I know that this is really a different approach, but this is exactly what the Apostle Paul's saying. I didn't come in excellency of speech. I determined to operate in the power of God, and all of the people who were his critics, they had this doctrine and this opinion, but they didn't have any power operating in their life. That's pretty strong. If we were just to boil it down to who's got the power of God operating in their life, we could get rid of a lot of people who are complaining. And here's the reason that he did it. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Then in verse 6, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God hath ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." So Paul is saying we aren't just using man's wisdom. We are operating in the power of God. But then he comes back and he says, now this doesn't mean that we aren't speaking wisdom. It's just not the wisdom of this world. It's a godly wisdom. It's a wisdom that we receive directly from God, but it counters the natural way of thinking. You know, you'll hear people today talk about, well, this is just common sense. Common sense means it's common. Amen. That it's natural. But the wisdom that is from God isn't natural. Like, for instance, when I was talking about the offering a while ago and living to be a blessing more than you are to be blessed, then you know what? When you get that mindset, that is different than the way that the world thinks. This is the reason it's so hard for so many people to grab hold of this, because common sense, man's wisdom is, no, I've got to take care of myself, and I've got to put myself and my family first, and if I don't take care of me, nobody else will. That's common sense. That's natural wisdom. But in the Scripture's way of thinking, no, the way to increase is to give. The way up is down. It's exactly opposite the way that the world thinks. And so this is what Paul's referring to. He says, I'm speaking wisdom, This makes perfect sense according to the Bible, but it's not carnal wisdom. If the natural people, the princes of this world, would have understood spiritual wisdom, they would have never crucified Christ because they played right into the hands of God. They did exactly what he prophesied they would do, that they actually made him the atonement. If they would have known, they would have done everything they could not to crucify Christ. But they played right into it because the devil, he's not stupid, but he's not smart. He operates in the world's way of thinking. Natural people cannot understand spiritual things. As a matter of fact, it goes right on down to say this. In verse 9, it says, "For it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them." And you will often have people take these exact verses and say, "Well, we just can't know the things of God. God works in mysterious ways. Eye hadn't seen, nor ears heard. We can't know the things of God. Further along, we'll understand why. Further along, we'll know all about it." And they sing these songs and they just embrace that while we're here in this earth, you just got to basically stumble along and you don't understand the things of God. The things of God are higher than our ways. And this is a scripture that's being quoted, an Old Testament scripture. But look at the next verse, verse 10. "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit." In the Old Testament, it was said, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear hath heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for him." In the Old Testament, it said, God works in mysterious ways, His wonders perform. And people have taken those and they've adopted it. But in the New Testament, through the Holy Spirit, God has revealed unto us these hidden things. In the New Testament, you aren't supposed to be ignorant of spiritual things. We have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." You have the mind of Christ. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 says, "You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things."
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the Holy Spirit. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM237 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The fourth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who were not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the fourth teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
It's difficult for me to share some of these truths because it's broken into little segments, and that's the reason we encourage you to get the materials that we're offering. But you know, even those materials, there is just so much. This is a revelation that I've got hundreds of hours sharing these truths. And really, the best way I have to share this with people is through our Charis Bible Colleges. We not only have the college here in Colorado Springs, but we have extension schools, I think 6 extension schools throughout the U.S., 4 outside of the U.S., but we also have correspondence that you can get DVDs and study. And so there's a lot more material available. I encourage you to call and join up with our Charis Bible College today.